to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am your host, Crow, and with me as always is Thaxos.
Hello, hello.
Misha Kitty.
Hello.
And Frost.
Hello.
Alrighty. We have a fair amount of stuff to talk about on this episode. I gotta bring up the window where I can read all of it. There we go. First off, in the Mercs news, I'll actually start with our new website. The brand spanking new website went up at the end of May, so it's only been up for about a week or so. Just go to MandalorianMercs.org if it hasn't redirected you already. It's very sweet. Still working out some kinks here and there, still working out some stuff with its interaction with the forums, but the forums are all intact, all your stuff is still on there. But it's easier to get to things like Keldabe Talk Radio, and all of our Facebook social media links and stuff are all right on top. So go check it out, poke around, tell Thaxos if anything's broken. He's not annoyed with that yet.
Not at all. Actually, no.
that was so incredibly not forced.
Right? No, actually, legitimately, I do want to know what might not be working so I can fix it, because nobody likes a broken site. So, as Crow was saying, we got a new site. Whether you go to .net, whether you go to mercs.firespray.net or mandalorianmercs.net, mandalorianmercs.com, mandalorianmercs.info, I think even, we'll all redirect to r.org. So, can't really go wrong there. All of the links on the forum that you posted at mercs.firespray.net/whatever topic, whatever extra stuff you got at the end there, it's already been censored. So that it turns into mandalorianmercs.org, so all the links should still be working too. So when it comes to that sort of thing, for the most part, everything should be working. By the time the podcast comes out, most of the pages that don't have finished content should be just about wrapped up and done. If you are spotting something, please feel free to let me know. There's currently a site is in beta. Let us know in the forum post. That's mostly for OMs. It's in an OM section. The news posting. One of the big things is that the news on the front of the website is no longer tied directly into the news posts on the forum. So if you're trying to go to that, you'll actually have to go on the forum, check the Mercs news, and then that new website is live posting. You can submit bug reports if you're not an official member. Beyond that, the forum really didn't change all that much, so everything should be good on that regard. Yeah, just take a look at the new site. It's quite mobile friendly. It should be a lot nicer to load. And then as well, for those that had noticed, a lot of our front end pages, you could, if you were going to the front end pages, you try to link them on Facebook or whatnot, you got the semicolon. That is no longer an issue. So our new front end doesn't get throw those errors on Facebook. So awesome.
And eventually. Yeah, eventually we should also be able to get like all of our cool tutorials and costume templates and all the stuff that we've always wanted a nice like front page repository for, like we'll actually be able to do
already,
that now.
There's already some of them in there. And that'll be growing. So it's a sweet looking site, and hopefully you guys like it. The only big difference is you can't see your forum stuff when you go to mercs.org, like mandalorianmercs.org directly, but it would be good to have that as your bookmark rather than the forum being the page that you always load, because there will be content and information to check on the homepage. We now have the proper front-end site. So, that was a lot of work, obviously. Let us know if there's anything we missed, because as always, when, you know, you've got a big site to switch stuff over on, you're going to miss one or two things, inevitably.
Alright, next up in Mercs News, we have actually a bunch of Ori Ramacad recipients. Normally we only do about one a month, but with Celebration we had a few. But first, the actual Ori Ramacad recipient for the month of May was Demos Ordo, Josh Schultz from down in the Florida, down in Burinar Verticlan. I mean, Josh has done a lot of stuff. Deimos has been very active in the Mercs ever since he joined. Very active down in Florida. But primarily he got his Ori Ramacad for, you know, his large efforts as a brigade marshal and as a Ruzalor for the BBC, which is no small task. BBC's huge. Lots of people to look at. Lots of people to help. And he's always stepped up, and he's always good. And he's a good guy to talk to. I hung around with him a lot at C7, and he's just a good guy, and he definitely deserves the award.
That he is. He's a fantastic guy, so he's definitely well deserving of that.
Yes.
If I can chime in as a fellow clan member and as someone who served with him as an officer, you know, Josh is, he really, really puts a lot of time and energy into everything he does for the Mercs, whether it is being the Brigade Marshal or helping out as the Ruzalor. And he spends a great deal of time helping people individually get their armor ready and also building large-scale props for the clan, too. And he's really built a number of different pieces for our booth and just really, really does his best that he can to help people, especially with builds, making things without having to put a great deal of money into it as well, which I love the fact that he really helps people make things accessible. And I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're, you know, a guy or a girl or even little kids, he really tries to help everybody get kitted out. And that's just, it's just fantastic to have him as part of the clan and very well deserved.
And as well, we had 3 Ori Ramacad announced at Celebration Anaheim as a result of the hard work that they put in. So the 3 that we've got is Tal Greyheed, a.k.a. Bill. We've got Crow, our very own, right here on the podcast, a.k.a. Ian. And we've also got Hagen, a.k.a. James. And he is our Western USRC. Tal Greyheed is from Womp Clan, and so is Crow. And Crow, I think we all know, because he's one of the co-hosts of the podcast.
No one knows me.
No one knows
you. It's that podcast
I'm not,
guy, right?
I'm not cool.
Well, I think we'll go in a little more detail. So first off, we've got Tal Greyheed. He did a fantastic job helping out with Celebration Anaheim. He was there to set up on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, put on his kit every day of the convention, stuck around the table to help, and he was there Sunday and Monday for Teardown as well.
I believe the man actually prides himself on being able to stay in kit for double-digit hours every single day.
He definitely does.
He put in probably the most hours out of anyone there at all. He was working it hard, and he was doing just a fantastic job, so we, of course, had to thank him for that. So he got our Ramacad. Our next one is, of course, James Hagen, and he is our Western U.S. Regional Commander, as I mentioned. He was there 3 of the 4 build days and during the show. He was also around when a lot of other people weren't available to help staff the booth, so he was filling those slots where people weren't around. Additionally, Bill, it is his 3rd celebration that he was overseeing the Mercs table, so he's definitely earned that Ori Ramacad. And I'm just going to redo James now.
Okay.
Second of all, we have Hagen, a.k.a. James, who is our Western U.S. Regional Commander. He received his Ori Ramacad because he helped out with 3 of the 4 build days and during Celebration Anaheim itself. And he was also manning the booth oftentimes when there was almost no one else around except for Cadenda Rooney. So he was filling some much-needed time slots where we didn't have many people able to staff the booth. So great thanks to him as well. And finally, we have our podcast co-host, Crow. So obviously he does the podcast. He kitted up every single day, I think. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he kitted up every single day as well. He was around all over the place throughout the weekend, so he was always available for helping out. And in addition to being involved with actually helping at Celebration Anaheim, he was running our social media the entire time, getting us out there, promoting us while that was going on, so people that were following along with our social media could see what was going on in Anaheim. So that was really cool. Even going so far as answering Facebook messages from our Facebook fan page. So that was absolutely fantastic. So many thanks to Ian as well. Thank you, Crow.
Nah.
Great job.
Oh, I'm blushing, guys.
You're amazing.
I am honestly honored. Like, it's really cool. I figured I would never get in. But well, but that's, I mean, that's always how it goes. It's, you know, you don't figure you're gonna get in. You don't, you know, you just show up, do your job, work hard, and eventually somebody notices. And it's like, that's, it's just really cool. I'm honestly very humbled.
Glad to have you on the Orramicad.
And yeah, now with Bill being in the Orramicad too, like, honestly, fully half of Wampa Clan is Orramicad. Like, we've got, yeah, we only have, well, it depends. Depends on whether or not we count little kids, but count, well, the Verdica members. But yeah, we have like 8-9 members, and 4 of us are Orramicad.
I think that what this really teaches us is that cold weather breeds discipline.
It does.
As the Canadian, I would tend to agree.
Yep. Yeah, so how many Canadians are Orramicad? Is it just you?
No, there's quite a few. There's at least
Are there
few.
Other Canadians in the Mercs?
Yes, there are other Canadians in the Mercs. Actually, we can do a quick little head count here. We got 1, 2. Well, within the first 8 Orramicad, we had 2. So for a little while, Canadians were representing a fair percentage of it. Since then, we got a good selection, actually. I'm scrolling through here. I'm seeing some Europe, some you know, other non-U.S. places, New Zealand, U.K. specifically, several U.K. in fact, Germany, and then also France. So there's a good representation. So yes, there are only 2 Canadians currently on it, but there's no reason that can't change. We shall see.
Try harder, Canada.
we're sorry, okay? We're sorry. We're not sorry.
Sorry.
No, it's sorry.
Sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Anyways, now I'm going to get disowned by the Canadians. And there is one more quick announcement regarding the Orramicad. We will be doing a bit of a restructure. There were some basic info put up, basically saying, hey, we're going to do something with this. And within the next little while, the rest of the info should be going up. Basically to the effect of, we will no longer be implementing a monthly Orramicad. Instead, we will take submissions throughout the year. And then at the beginning of each year, we will be announcing the recipients of the Orramicad for that year. Other than that, the same process applies for submitting someone that you feel is deserving of the Orramicad award. And, you know, keep doing the hard work that you do, and maybe someone will be nominating you.
We'll move on to Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars, yeah. I hear it's cool. Anybody seen it?
No.
I heard that they're making another one.
I heard
they're
making,
by the way, can we all just agree that that's probably the single best thing that has ever happened on the Jimmy Fallon show?
I never saw it.
I didn't see it either.
They got Harrison Ford on to talk about some other stuff he was doing.
No, yeah, that was great.
At which point, they offered him $1,000 cash on the show to give him an insider secret about Star Wars.
Oh no!
And Harrison reaches over and takes $1,000 and puts it in his top pocket and everything. At which point they're like, "So what's the leaked information?" At which point Harrison goes, here, they're making another one.
And we expected anything else.
It's the best damn thing.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, sorry. When you asked about the Jimmy Fallon thing, I was like, they did another thing just recently. I don't remember seeing that, but I'm sure there'll be some more ramp up towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Alright, so moving on into Star Wars news, one of the things that happened pretty much right after C7, we got a sweet new spread articles in Vanity Fair, which is something that they've done for the, you know, they did it for the prequels and all that, so it's nothing exceptionally new and groundbreaking that way, but we did get to see some really excellent shots of a bunch of the new characters, Captain Phasma in particular. Like, that page is worth looking at all day. I've actually got it here, which is weird for me. because I bought it at a gas station. But yeah, like, there's, you know, shots from, like, on set, you know, JJ directing. I still don't know any of the characters, but the fudgicle speeder bike girl, whatever her name is.
Ray.
It's a fudgicle.
Oh, yeah, her. I know exactly who
you are. Yeah, see, right.
Ray. Her name is Ray.
Her name is Ray. Like, directing her, they've got shots of, you know, Kathleen Kennedy and a bunch of other people with J.J. Abrams, and then they've got, like, but seriously, like, the Captain Phasma shot, like, that one is the one that I can't not look at that all the time. But they have, like, one of the big things that a lot of people are happy about quietly is they have a shot of just a bunch of the extras, if you will.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, people in suits, in alien masks. Like, I've never been so happy about looking at so much latex.
Is it a, it's a stormtrooper helmet, right? The black one? The black stormtrooper helmet, right side of the image. It's got some Ourobesh on there. I think it says fear. Someone had taken a look at it.
Yes, it does. Yeah, there's just, you can't really see if he's wearing, the rest of the armor, but yeah, there's definitely a dude in a black stormtrooper helmet with Ourobesh on it.
It might be a pilot helmet. It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, it's definitely an Imperial-esque helmet. It sort of looks like it could be an old Stormy helmet, but it's in the background, and it's kind of hard to see.
But the Ourobesh has fear, and people have been speculating all over on that.
Yeah, and I mean, that could just be a dude. I mean, how many of us have nonsensical writing all over our armor?
Yeah.
I know I do. Yeah, it's just such a cool spread. Like, if you haven't picked it up, go pick it up, or at least go loiter around your local gas station magazine rack and check it out. It's honestly, the last one of these that I looked at was back with episode one, back when we didn't know anything about Jar Jar and how we thought he might be cool. So this definitely blows that right out of the water. And yeah, right on the front cover of the issue I've got is they've got Rey and Finn with BB-8 and Han Solo and Chewie.
And Chewie, yeah.
It's just right out front, just like, yep.
So guys, how do we determine what successful boothing is? What would you guys say having a successful booth means to you?
Well, I would say having people like it. Well, I've worked at conventions for some time. Like, I run one of the artist alleys at a convention up here in Maine, and I've seen people who have these are usually artists that are trying to sell their stuff, but I've seen plenty of times where someone will have a booth that's just really boring and unappealing, like, regardless of what they're actually selling, and obviously people just kind of skip by it. I have seen plenty of booths that people only looked at because they were in line for another booth. And you don't want to be that booth.
Nope.
I would say, for the most part, successful boothing would obviously be taking advantage of the Mercs art team, who provide lovely, lovely banners that you can then get printed out on vinyl and have hanging in front of your table, because that always draws the eye. And then secondary to that would be having, obviously, someone either in armor or wearing the Merc shirt, manning the booth, looking attentive, not being on their phone, eating food or whatnot, because that's always important to actually be engaging. And then, depending on the size of the event and the size of your clan, it can range anywhere from just having a helmet and a blaster or two on the table, along with some info, like the rack cards and the business cards that you can hand out as well, all the promotional media available to the clan officers and official members, and then all the way up to having crazy gigantic builds like, I don't know, Misha's clan has going on.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you guys.
It's true. We're awesome.
One or two. Yeah. One of the things I think is most popular amongst clans when they go, hey, let's do something cool, is having a jail cell. Having a jail cell to throw, in exchange for a donation to charity, having a jail cell to throw people into that are walking by to get a photo with some mercs in the jail cell always seems to be a crowd pleaser.
Okay, yeah, so when we talk about having a successful booth, I think sometimes clans get really excited about having a booth space at an event, and definitely, you know what, if you can get to a con and you can have a booth space there, that's really great. But for folks who heard the podcast when Saz was on, he talked a lot about how just being at an event, whether it's a con or a public event, even if you don't have a booth space, just being there in your armor represents the Mercs right there. So, you know, you can have a successful event just by having one person there in a really good kit, being there to sort of represent who we are and show who we are. When it comes to the booth itself, you know, first impressions are key. And so it's really important whether your clan has your Vir'alor and your Alarad there, because really they're the ones that usually handle that. You know, the Vir'alor is the person who's responsible for all the PR for your clan and is supposed to be handling a lot of that booth. And or if it's a situation like we have here in Florida where maybe that person isn't going to get to every single event, whoever the point of contact is for that specific event really needs to be keeping an eye on everything, making sure everything's not only running smoothly, but that your space is clean, that it's tidy, that you don't have, you know, trash laying everywhere, that when people come up to the booth, remember your goal isn't just to be there and say like, hey, we're awesome, but we really want to try to tell people who we are and what we do. And really, there's two goals for that. One is so that maybe we can get more members, but the other really important goal of having booths is getting people interested in having us come out to their events and getting more troops. So I would say a big part of successful boothing is it's not just about, you know, sometimes I think people get caught up in, well, I want to have a large prop or I want to have a cool scene, and that is definitely important. But it's also super important to have people at that booth who are approachable. It's awesome if you have six people in kit, but you have to have somebody there who's approachable and friendly and nice and is going to be able to answer all the questions that people have when they walk up.
Definitely. Mm. Additionally, with the enthusiasm when you're wanting to make large props or even just a jail cell, you have to keep in mind that you may only have one or maybe you have a bunch of conventions, but you're only going to have so many conventions in a year, probably at most six, and so for the other 350 days of the year, you need somewhere to store that jail cell, that big prop, that, you know, static blaster jail cell, whatnot. So keep that in mind too. You know, there's nothing wrong with not having a large prop or anything like that, or a jail cell when you're at the convention, especially if it's the first time that you're having a convention. You know, get a feel for the convention first. Make sure it's a convention that you are able to have that at. Some conventions may not give you a large booth space. You might only get one table that is side by side with a bunch of other tables. So you really have to work that in.
Absolutely. We have some, I mean, like Sean was saying, we have some pretty big booth pieces here in Florida. I can vouch for one of them because the giant 8-foot wide weapons wall lives in my living room when it is not on display. And it is
That's
kind of...
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, it's actually and trust me, this is not the yeah of the girl who doesn't want that in her house. That's the yeah of the girl that's kind of sad that it can't be permanently set up in her house, because right now we don't have a wall space to actually set it up. So unfortunately, it's just the columns and everything else sort of stashes inside of the columns, so we can't actually have it set up. But Sean's absolutely right. The majority of the year, it's like these things aren't, you know, they're either stored in a garage or they're stored in some sort of storage space like a rental unit. And so you do have to consider not just storing them, but also getting them to and from these events. So that's something to keep in mind too. And really, I recommend starting small. Like, go to your art team, get a nice table banner, get a nice stand-up banner, like a vertical banner if you want. Get some small weapons and maybe a helmet or two that you can put on the table. And that, with a member or two standing there in kit, is more than enough for a display. You don't have to have all these exciting big props. It is amazing if you can have them, but one thing that we've run into is a lot of times we don't even get to bring out some of the cool props because it, you know, we're given a 10 by 10 space and there's just not a lot you can, you know, you can do.
You can't fit a jail cell there.
Right, you can't. And honest, and quite frankly, like, if you can, you've got the jail cell and you've sort of wedged it behind your table, and, you know, it's not like people can take cool pictures of it anyway.
Yeah, it depends on the booth layout, too, and right. Which jail cell you've built. Because I know that the Florida group, they've got the Octeon or Hexagon?
I think it's
I should know because my clan actually built the first one of that style, but
it's one of those two shapes. I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
it's a hexagon base and a hexagon top, and then it's got PVC pipes running on the front three, right. And then the back. Yeah, it's a hexagon. The front three are PVC pipes. The back three are paneling, and even then, while it's designed to, you know, disassemble pretty well and not take up too much space, the footprint's all right. Still, just the flow of getting people in and out of the jail cell, as well as accommodating for photos for that jail cell, you end up needing a whole lot more space than you would think you would.
Yeah,
you do. We've been pretty successful with the weapons wall because it's a nice backdrop, but the jail cell is a tough one. Although it's the cell's a nice one because you can do the cell and someone in it with a merc standing next to it, which is a really nice scene. Any kind of weapons wall. We actually have, I think, three now in the state. We have the giant, insane one that my husband built. We have a smaller one that breaks apart into, I think, two pieces. And then I think our East Coast members just built one, too. So there's a lot of different ways to do these things. And again, you know, you don't have to have a booth. But if you do find yourself in a situation when you have one, the things that's important to remember is just look at your booth space, see how much space you're going to have. Don't try to cram a whole bunch of things in there. And keep in mind, too, that it's really important to talk to your official members and make sure you're going to have someone there that will help with the booth. Because, you know, Florida's a big place. We have over 50 members, and we've had events where we could only maybe get like 3 or 4 people that were willing to commit to the booth for the weekend. So, and that's, I mean, it's understandable. People have lots of things they're doing. You know, some people work weekends, some people have other priorities, some people maybe can't afford to go to a con and, you know, if they have to pay to get in. But remember that if you're getting these types of events, it is important to make sure that you've got volunteers who are willing to hang out and are willing to staff it.
Yeah, that's usually up in Wampa because, you know, we're spread out and most of us live in apartments, so we don't have any big props whatsoever. Yeah, at the convention that we did most recently, all our booth setup was we have those like wire grid closet organizer things you can get from Target, and we just make a little rack for those, and we just put our helmets in that, and that's half the display. We have our Mercs banner, which we got from the art team, and we also now have a flag that I made, which, that's another thing. You can do a lot of stuff through the art team, but you can also do a lot of stuff with your Verilor. Like, if you have something that just has your clan logo on it, and you just want to paint it on a banner, turn it into a flag, that sort of stuff, do it. Definitely run it by somebody if you're worried about it, but that's definitely something you can do. So all we had all weekend at this convention was, you know, our flag, which is just canvas and paint with the Wampa logo on it.
Which looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, that's really great.
And then our banner, and then our helmets, and then whoever, like, we had a set of my old armor that I just had lying around, just hung over the front of the table to be a nice display piece, and that was it. And we got a really great response because we had a lot of, like, we had our good talkers there. Our Alarad Jeff, he's a great guy to just walk up and ask questions to. So we had all sorts of our people there. It was actually the biggest turnout for Wampa that we've ever had. We were only short one member, and he couldn't come because he was sick. And we had just as good a turnout as the 501st, which was the next booth over from us, and the NEG actually, for the first time in Maine history, brought their sweet trash compactor set. They actually brought that up from Massachusetts for us, and it was awesome. And we got the same response that they did with our somewhat minimal booth.
So a couple of other tips for successful boothing. For folks who may be a little new, they may not always be familiar with some of the tips and tricks of being at your booth and how to make that nice first impression. And I think probably one of the biggest ones, and y'all can agree with me or disagree on this one, is not de-kitting at the booth. Unless you're having a medical emergency. And really, if you're having a medical emergency, we probably should get you out of the booth as well, because a public place like the booth is not the best place for a medical emergency either. But you know, sometimes that can't be helped. But we always try to gently and politely remind our members that unless we have a secure changing area, please don't decide to take off your kit or put your kit on at the booth, because really there is a little bit of the magic that needs to be preserved, you know, and nobody wants to see like you stripping off your armor and whatever method of attachment, whether it's magnets or Velcro or, you know, unicorn tears and duct tape that you decide to use to get your armor on. It's nice to kind of keep that secret and that magic kind of under wraps for people. And plus it just keeps everything from getting a little messy. Because I've definitely seen places where it looks like a Mandalorian exploded kind of everywhere.
Well, another thing to be very aware of is, as she was saying earlier, if you are having a problem, something health related, or you have been injured, we do probably have somebody at the booth who can help you, but that's the last place you should be. If you're having a real problem, try and find comm services. Or get back to your room. Do whatever you need to do so that you can be safe. Because, I mean, I know a lot of people who've gotten injured in various ways at conventions, and really, it's okay for you to go and take care of it. If you can, if it's even as simple as getting blisters on your feet, go and take care of that shit. Let it fester, and don't deal with it at the table. Because
I'll give you a
it's
really
probably not
great
the right place.
I'll give you a really great example of that. Our most recent con, we had 4 people overheat. Now, It's Florida. We have people overheat a lot, but I mean, I really did
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually really unusual. I've never had an indoor con where I think that I've been at that anyone's overheated at. So having, and 2 of them were together, and they had really had to walk through, you know, you kind of had to go through a lot of heat and walking in order to just get to the con. But what wound up happening was, you know, they were at the booth, they had just gotten there, and it started to happen. And the best thing we really could do, because of the way the situation went down, was to just have them sit down right there immediately. We were not able to move them, and we were cooling them down, and a photographer walked up and decided that would be the best time to take photos of them, you know? And it was horribly awkward, and you know, I'm sure the photographer didn't realize that these 2 individuals were in distress, but it was one of those things where that was really not the best time for a photographer to say, hey, let me take some photos of you. So we were able to sort of like seclude them off away. But it's just a very good point that, like, when those things are happening, sometimes, you know, sometimes you can't help but be at the booth. Sometimes it happens. Yeah. So certainly, you know, if there is an emergency and you're there, you're there. But we all do have to kind of look out for each other. And that is something just to kind of keep in mind that, you know, if you do have something that happens, there's a really good chance that there may be someone there with a camera who decides, you know, oh, hey, I'm going to get this on film or whatever. So it's always important to look out for your brothers and sisters. And, you know, similarly, I mean, you know, when we're at the booth, I think sometimes, especially when you're there in kit, people do view you as sort of their own personal prop that they're going to take their pictures with. And I think we're all used to that in terms of trooping, but that's something to remember too, that when you're at that booth, if you're there in kit, you're not just like, you're like super duper, I can't think of a better word for this, so we may edit this out, but I guess the only way for me to explain it is, you are not just a member of the Mercs, but when you're there in kit at the booth, you're really representing, so you really need to be on your best behavior. I mean, I don't know if you guys would disagree with that, but
I completely agree.
I certainly agree with that. I mean, I'm not gonna I'm not gonna lie, there have been plenty of times where I've just been, like, sitting, eating chicken wings at the table because it was lunchtime and there was no one else around.
Yeah,
But that being said, I mean, if you are, I mean, any time that you are in public, in your armor, you are representing the Mercs. Even if you're out in public just wearing your patch jacket.
Yeah.
Like,
or
if,
the t-shirt or...
Yeah, like, they're... We heard a, while we were at Celebration, we heard a story about some people with Mandalorian logos on their clothes being a little rowdy at a restaurant. Now, me and the other OM that heard this story, we couldn't verify whether or not it was us or anybody else, but somebody that we just ran into outside of the convention saw the same logo and was like, oh, hey, yeah, you guys are rowdy. We're like, what? Not us.
Yeah.
So yeah, any time that you are out in public, especially at conventions, because like Misha said, when we're running booths, when we're out, you know, just walking around at conventions, even if you don't have a booth, you're trying to not only go to that convention again, but go to all the other conventions in the area. So you want to have your best foot forward at all times.
Exactly. Yeah. And that means that even if something happens that you don't like, and let's face it, you know, conventions can be super stressful because there's no telling what will happen. So even if something happens that you don't like, you know, sometimes you just gotta suck it up and push forward. And I'm with Crow. I mean, there have been, you know, at the last convention I was at, I not only did I get sick, but I had to sit at the booth and eat because I hadn't like eaten all day and needed to stay and man the booth, and kind of was in a situation where it was like, well, I'm gonna sit down behind the table like it just, I may have even slept under the tablecloth. But
we don't recommend that, but
yes, we do not endorse that. However, desperate Misha's, you know, desperate times. But it's just always important to remember that as soon, it's kind of like being in uniform for those of you that are any kind of job, whether you're a police officer or you're in the armed forces or you're even a job like mine where we have to wear a ranger uniform. As soon as you put that uniform on, people know, oh, hey, they're part of this group. And honestly, that goes for your recruits too. Remember, if you've got recruits hanging around your booth, people don't know that they're not official members.
Right.
So it's up to you guys who are, you know, who are kind of like the big brothers and sisters to model that good behavior and help them learn, you know, how to put that best foot forward. And I think for the most part, our members are really great about that. I mean, I see part of what's fun about being on the social media team is you see so many pictures of like our members with little kids and with the public and smiling, you know, we see so many smiling faces and just everyone's so happy. And I think that's so wonderful. It makes me so happy to see the club putting forth, you know, such a good image. I just think that when we do our booths, because we get booths are the place where you don't just see five or six people, you know, you may see hundreds, in some cases, even thousands. So, you know, it's really critical that if you're there and you're not in kit, you know, be in something that clearly identifies you as a Mercs member. If you, if you're gonna be that person that is talking to people, this is your passion. You know, let it show. Like, don't just be sitting there like, hey, yeah, I'm with the Mercs. How you doing? Like, really, like, speak out from your heart and let them know how excited you are. And invite these people to join. I mean, they're excited about it too. Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking to you.
Exactly.
And that is all we have for this edition of Keldabi Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Tune in next month. We have a very, very special episode coming up next month. Just keep looking on our Facebook page, just facebook.com/Keldabi Talk Radio, for more details on that. It's going to be awesome. But for this month, thank you very much for listening. We will be back. And on behalf of myself, Thaxos, Frost, and Misha Kitty, have a good one.
Later.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.